Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a privilege for Kathy and I to be with you this morning. Last time I was here was your pastor's installation almost 4 years ago, so it's great to get reconnected and to see and to understand some of the great things that God is doing here in this ministry. With that in mind, I want to take just a second to kind of remind us of something, and that is that we are all part of something bigger. As part of this congregation, you are part of a church body that's called the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's almost 6,000 congregations. There's almost 2 million members. There are partner church bodies all over the world where we're engaged in mission and in ministry. You're also part of, as Pastor Matt mentioned it earlier, the Pacific Southwest District. And that's just our corner of the world. In this district, there are almost 300 congregations, almost 150 schools, preschool through high school. And we have a dynamic group of people and congregations engaging in their communities for the sake of the gospel. Now, our particular area goes all the way to Santa Barbara along the coast above Los Angeles here, and then it goes across, picks up Mammoth Mountain. We actually get Mammoth Mountain in our district. That's because back in 1930, when the districts were created, the only way you could really get to Mammoth Mountain was out of LA on the train. So that's why it's with us. And then you have all of the southern part of Nevada, Las Vegas, the river cities, and then California and all of Arizona, all the way to the border of Mexico. So that's my church, that's my territory, and just a privilege to be able to serve in that way. I am on the road usually about 2 to 3 weeks a month, just spending time with people and being resources for congregations and schools. That's the purpose of our district. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the concepts of perspectives as it shows in this text from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I invite you to turn back there because we're going to kind of walk our way through parts of this. That's the epistle lesson for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But to kind of get us started, I want to tell you what my new favorite story about perspectives. And it has to do with my dad. My dad on May 1st will turn 89. And my dad is my hero. He's an incredible man, physically capable, like I pray I will be someday. I'm not just talking when I'm 90 or 89, but today. We go and do work together, and I'm the one who's whining, saying, Dad, can we slow down and take a break? And he's just always, always on the go. Well, my dad decided earlier this last year that he was going to get himself a smartphone. I mean, he's had the old flip phone for a long time. And I said, well, what are you going to do with a smartphone? He says, well, I'm going to take pictures and send them to you guys. I go, oh, goody. Yeah, send me stuff. That'd be great. I thought, well, what greater thing to be is to see things that my dad believes and are important in his life. I'd love to receive that. Let me help you with it. And so we were up at our family cabin near Lake Tahoe, and I'm providing some assistance with my dad trying to set up his phone. We're getting rid of all the apps that he'll never use, and we're trying to get him so that he's comfortable with it. So he's sitting there playing with his phone, and then he looks over at me, and he asked me this question. Will you teach me how to take a selfie? And I go, are you kidding me? Yes, I'll teach you how to take a selfie. And so I tried to explain it to him. You know, he just wanted to try it on his own. And then he's holding up his phone and he's snapping pictures and such. And he looks at me and he goes, how come I'm only getting pictures of the living room? And I said, well, you see that little button down there in the corner, Dad? I said, that's where you need to change the perspective so that you're able to see things from the right angle. That's what I want to help you do this morning, to either connect you to something that might be fresh and new about perspectives that come out of 2 Corinthians 5, or to just remind you of this powerful sense of perspective that comes out of 2 Corinthians 5. I want to invite you to think of three things and three ways that I think God calls us to a unique perspective. a very different perspective on life, on our relationships, and on ourselves. A way in which his perspective is very, very different from what we experience typically within our culture today. So first of all, we're going to look at a perspective that is our motivation for life. Why is it that we live? Why is it that we do what we do? What is it that motivates us for that purpose? Secondly, we're going to look at our perception of how we could view others, not just through our eyes or the way the culture might view people, but through God's eyes himself. And then thirdly, to be able to look at how God sees us and the roles and the opportunities to which he has called us. Now, as you look at your text in your bulletin, you note that it's starting at verse 16. But I'm actually going to back up and pick up the two verses that come before that. So if you have your Bible with you and you want to look at that, or if you've got a YouVersion or something else that's your Bible on your phone, I invite you to go there. Here's the reason why. Because as you look at your text there in the bulletin, you'll see that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, it says, "From now on, therefore." Now, whenever you hear something like, well, from now on from what? Or when you see a therefore, what's the question that you should always ask at that point? It's this: what's the therefore there for? Why is it there? What's its purpose? And you go, man, that is one corny little statement, but it makes you pause and it makes you think through, what is it that God's trying to say here? Why then, from now on, are we going to regard no one according to the flesh? Well, because of the text that came before it. So it's an important biblical principle when we're doing Bible study. So now listen to verses 14 and 15. "For the love of Christ controls us." One of the other translations there is, "For the love of Christ compels us." It's as if the control center is that which drives everything that is in us. "Because we have concluded this." And then you notice in the text, if you're looking with me, that there's a full colon after this. What is it that we've concluded? And it's this: that one has died for all. Well, who's that one? Well, that's Jesus, right? That Jesus has died for all. Not just some, but for all. This is a concept in theology that we call objective justification, or that declaration that Jesus died for all people. The challenge, of course, is that not everyone will believe. That's the subjective part of it. But the declaration here for us is, we have concluded that Jesus died for all. Therefore, all have died. Now, what does that mean? Therefore, all have died. We have all, by what God has done for us in Christ, as he died for our sins have been put to death also in Christ. And he died for all, that those who live, now here's our motivation for living, listen, "for those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Think about that statement. We live no longer for ourselves, but we live for Christ, who died and rose again for us. Radical concept in our culture today, isn't it? Because we're all taught to live for ourselves, to look out for ourselves, to be able to put ourselves first. And Jesus comes in this moment, he says, "Because of what I've done for you, because of what I've accomplished for you, because of your death and your resurrection in Christ, you have a whole different reason and purpose for living, that we might live for Christ above ourselves, that we might live for Christ before our careers, that we might live for Christ even before our family, because Christ should be the crowning focus of all that we are and all that God has called us to be." So motivation begins with an awareness of who we are as the forgiven children of God, so that we might then have the perspective that I live my life to serve Jesus. Now, the second perspective shift that he calls us to is how we will view others. Look again at your text. This is now where we pick up in the bulletin. It says, from now on, therefore, because of all those things we just looked at, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. We're not going to look at one another by who we are in the physical, who we are with the color of our skin, who we are in the expression of our language, who we are in what our career is, who we are in what our family is. We're going to look at one another with different eyes, with different perspectives, and that is to be able to look at one another with the same eye and the same perspective that our God sees us. People from whom Jesus died, people that God loves, people that he desires to be in a relationship with him. And so the text goes on. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, even though when Jesus was on earth and walking among us, there was that view that, well, is this just another man? Is this just a person who is teaching good things? No, we don't just look at him in regard to the flesh, but we understand who he is as God himself, the Savior who has come into the world. And so thus we regard him not just according to the flesh any longer. We see him as the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, a person who knows Christ as Lord and Savior has been recreated. A person who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, their sins have been forgiven. A person who knows Jesus Christ is numbered among the children of God. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter what language we speak. Doesn't matter what our vocation is. Doesn't matter our family of origin. It doesn't matter, because now our whole purpose and being has been restated, that now we are children of God. And that gives us the ability to look at people in different ways. Even the people who do not yet believe can be looked at as the potential of who they can become in Jesus Christ. And these are all people for whom Jesus died and for whom he invites us to see them in new eyes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The old sinfulness that has tripped us up, the behaviors that have set us apart from God, all of that new has come in its place. So we have a view not only of why we live, but we also have a view of who we are in relationship with. And particularly as the people of God, as we serve with one another here at First, as we serve with one another in our lives and function day to day with other believers, we see them as new creations, people of God for whom he died, so that we might love them, see them with the same way that Jesus does. That is a call to a significant shift on how we approach the people that we meet on a day-to-day basis. Got a new motivation. We have a secondly, a new view on how we look at the people around us. And then thirdly, and this is one that is, I think, even more significant for our own view of ourselves, that God has now called us to a very different view of what our purpose is and what our role is, because he has claimed us as his own. Look at the text again. We're going to read now verses 18 through 20. All of this, all the things we've just looked at, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. God wanted to restore us in a relationship with him that had been broken by sin and rebellion from Adam and Eve forward. And yet he gives us the gift of Jesus, who then takes the punishment that we deserve so that we could be right with God again. He reconciled us. But notice what it says. Because remember, when we have that right motivation and we have a different perspective of others, he also invites us to a different perspective of ourselves as followers of Christ. And he says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You see, he says, this is what I have done for the whole world. But now, followers of Christ, those who have a different motivation on life, those who now see other people differently than you did before, I am giving to you the message of reconciliation so that the rest of the world might know and experience what you know too. And therefore, there's another therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. An ambassador. How about you? But if you've been watching whatever news channel that you might grab hold of these days in order to get updates on what's going on with the war in Ukraine, I'm seeing a lot of former ambassador this and present ambassador that and all the rest. Ambassadors represent their government. The ambassadors are the government of our nation in place in the nations and countries where they are serving as the representative of our president, as the representative of our national government. God has called you and me to be ambassadors for his kingdom. Now, this is not just a casual word. This is not just a description of who we are as people of God. This is an active role that we play because we have one, Jesus, who is reigning right now on the throne of heaven with his kingdom coming into the world through the work of his church, through the proclamation of his word, through ambassadors like us sharing Jesus with others. We are engaged in an active kingdom representation, actively representing the one who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator, Ruler, Savior of all. We live that out every single day. It's not just a title that comes with us, but it's a call to action, to know and understand that how I live my life, how you live your life, how we share, the words that we proclaim and offer to others are all representative of who we are, of the one who reigns above all things. And how important it is for us in all of this time of uncertainty today to remember that our God rules above all things, above any nation that is battling with another. Our God rules and reigns above all things. Any government that exists, exists because God has allowed it to exist for his purposes. For what purpose? So that there would be peace, that the gospel might be shared with others. Never forget that even when our world struggles the way it is now in some significant ways, we have one who is above it all, who is the one in charge and control of all of his creation. I pray that gives you peace. I pray that gives you confidence, but it also calls you to action, to be the one who is an ambassador for him. The text that we read from the gospel reading is one that I think is important for us to grab as we close. God has called us, remember, to fresh motivation as to why we are and why we do and who we are. Secondly, he calls us to how we look at one another in different ways. But thirdly, he calls us to a place by which we look at ourselves differently and what our actions and what our behaviors and what our service would be to him as the forgiven children of God. But all of it he does for what reason? Because He loves us because we don't deserve it. He loves us and gives it to us anyway. Those that were invited to the banquet, they didn't deserve it. But the one who held the banquet invited them anyway. That's who we are. We are the ones who've been invited to the banquet of God's love, the banquet of God's accomplishments, of all of our forgiveness, and the gift that he has of calling us now his children, that we might know that we are loved and received by him every single day. It's my encouragement and prayer that God would continue to bless you with fresh motivation today, that he'd bless you with a whole different way of viewing the people in your world around you, and that he would bless you with the excitement of what it means to live out a very significant role of representing him in all that you do. Would you join me in prayer? God, our eternal Father, thank you for the privilege of being here at First today. We ask that you would bless us, guide us through your word, encourage us, call us to a higher living as we seek to be your people in our world, fully engaged for your purposes. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.